ABC Radio Australia.
There are warnings of the potential for a rapid escalation of COVID cases in PNG's cities. Currently, PNG has more than 500 confirmed coronavirus cases, with the majority of those in the capital, Port Moresby. As the numbers continue to rise, health experts from around the world say there needs to be more localised research into the spread and effect of COVID in PNG, and I took a look at this. Since PNG's first COVID case was confirmed back in March, the number of cases has continued to rise. But it's been a slow increase with seemingly low numbers when compared to many other countries around the world. PNG has just over 500 confirmed cases and 6 people have died. Dr. William Pommart, who heads up PNG's Institute of Medical Research, has a number of theories about why this is, one of them being the average age of people in the country.
Could be because our death is around 60, 67 or something. So, you know, Papua New Guineans are relatively young, if you like. So, you know, people die earlier. So I think, you know, looking at the deaths in developed countries, for example, where a lot of the deaths have occurred in the elderly.
But he says it could also be because PNG has a lower population density.
We are not as populous, if you like, as other parts of the world. And yes, in Port Moresby, it might be a little bit more crowded than elsewhere. But in most places, the people are by themselves in small communities. So I think that, you know, as part of the transmission dynamics, that could be one of the reasons.
But he says this is all speculative. In a country with a population estimated to be as high as 8 million, just over 17,000 people have been tested so far for COVID-19. Dr. Pommart wants to see the testing net cast much wider to help them understand what's really going on.
If we test 1% of the population, which for Papua New Guinea would be about 80,000, then it might be a true representative of what we are transmitting in the communities.
He also says they need to have a better understanding of the true number of people who might have died from COVID-19.
We need to also do some what we call verbal autopsy to look at deaths that might have happened in communities. Using the WHO standard modules, for example, to question how deaths in the communities have occurred. So I think in Port Moresby, if we did a verbal autopsy analysis down there, we might see a bit more than what we've seen that's being recorded.
The Australian government also wants to know what's going on its doorstep. The Australian Foreign Affairs Department is supporting the Burnett and Doherty Institutes and the PNG IMR to do modelling and data collection. But because of low testing numbers, the information that they have is limited. Leanne Robinson is an associate professor with the Burnett Institute.
But we really need to have an opportunity to undertake further research to understand the transmission patterns, the clinical characteristics of the disease in this setting, you know, which groups are more vulnerable and how can they be protected.
From the data that is available, what is known is that the majority of people who have tested positive for the coronavirus in PNG have been asymptomatic, which means they had no symptoms like a fever, a cough or difficulty breathing. And for Leanne Robinson, that is a worry.
I think what we do know from some of the most recent SITREPs is that many of the most recent cases, most of which, you know, are in Port Moresby, are not epidemiologically linked currently, although investigations are still ongoing and it's possible that chains of transmission may be established. But this is indicative of wider spread community transmission.
She believes that if left unchecked, COVID-19 could prove fatal for many more people living in cities like Port Moresby and Leigh.
I think there is real potential for a rapid escalation in the outbreak. And we've seen with COVID-19 in other settings, once this gets away from you in terms of perhaps affecting more vulnerable population groups, you know, this is when the rate of severe cases and death may be observed to to increase.
But experts say that supporting the city communities to deal with the current spread of coronavirus is easier said than done. The people of PNG have been living under the government's Nupla Pasin policy, or new normal, for around 3 months now. It means face masks are meant to be worn, hands are meant to be washed regularly, and social distancing should be happening. But when Sharon Salmon, who's been the COVID-19 incident manager in PNG for the World Health Organization, visited a Port Moresby settlement last week, she didn't see any of that happening.
To be honest, most people within the settlements don't even have access to masks. So you're seeing a lot of people within the community that are not wearing masks at all.
She, along with representatives from the NGO World Vision and PNG's health department, visited an informal settlement in the suburb of Nine Mile that's home to around 20,000 people.
It's really quite crowded. You're having over, on any block of land, you've probably got about five different houses within one block, and in each house within that block you've at least got about five people. So there's at least over 25 to 30 people on any one block.
She wanted to meet with community leaders to hear from them about what the COVID-19 response has been like on the ground.
So this is something that was a real stark reminder that sometimes the requests that come out to the community can't always be implemented within the urban settlements.
The community leaders told her that their most pressing concern was access to water.
A lot of the settlements don't have access to clean running water, or if they do, it's in a limited supply. So when we're saying messages like, you know, hand hygiene and also personal hygiene, this is a real challenge.
And it's not just been settlements which have been without water in Port Moresby recently. There have been water outages across the city in recent days. That's just one example of how the situation is so different for people in a country like PNG than it is in countries like Australia. And that's why Dr. Pommat from the Institute of Medical Research argues that there needs to be more localised research. He recently co-authored a paper called The Need for COVID-19 Research in Low and Middle Income Countries. The paper argues that the bulk of what is known at the moment about coronavirus comes from higher income countries, and that the ways the virus can be fought in a country like Australia might differ to a place like PNG.
I think there are differences in different countries and in the way the behaviour of different cultural groups and so on. And yes, we can have a broad brush that, you know, this thing works for everyone. But the instances where Papua New Guinea respond the way everyone else responds. So there might be something about the biology of Papua New Guinea that do some of the work ourselves to be able to work out the solutions for our local situations here.
He says there should be more research into how and why people in PNG are behaving the way they are to COVID-19.
Although there's messages out from the government for social distancing and masks and all of that, there's a lot of people still walking around as if nothing's wrong. And I think they've got this no careless attitude right now, but at the same time, for families who have recorded COVID-19, that there's always this stigma against specific families and so on, and you know, they might be chased out of their houses or their village or things like that. So, you know, we need to understand some of those cultural differences and ensure that we have answers to how to mitigate those issues.
Sharon agrees and says the WHO is advocating for a grounds-up approach to the COVID-19 response in PNG.
We need to be able to properly engage different communities in different regions to understand what their concerns are. So when we are coming together to make decisions, we're tailoring it to the context of where the people are living.
Until that research is done, Dr. Pommat says the true impact the virus is having in the country will largely remain unknown.
Going forward, one of the things that we want to look at is our knowledge, attitude and practice around COVID-19 itself. So we haven't touched on what the footprint of COVID-19 is.